Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 139, part 1, The Riches of His Grace. Today is Friday, March 26, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to call between 1 and 3 p.m. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Be sure to join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes. You can email me, Janine@pastorpaul.org, and in the show notes, you're going to also find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's messages and Sundays for part two. This month, the messages are the following: Go Forth Without the Camp, Are We Sincere, Are You in the Smoke, The Riches of His Grace. So there you have it, the month of March. Have a great month and a beautiful spring. God bless you.
And today's message is entitled The Riches of His Grace. Ephesians 1 and 17. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Paul, I believe, is among the apostles as Isaiah is among the prophets. Each stands forth as a singular prominence raised up by God for a very conspicuous purpose. I believe both are shining as a star of extraordinary brilliance. Here we have Isaiah, who spoke more of Christ and described his life in the Old Testament. Christ's life and Christ's purpose and death more minutely than all the other prophets put together. A direct revelation about the grace of God in the Old Testament, foretold through the prophet Isaiah. Here we have a man that was given the life ingredients, the unsearchable truths of Christ. How many are hearing this? While Paul proclaimed them the grace of God, free, it's free grace. That's like people come up for groceries. Well, how much is it? What do you have to do? Put your arms out. All right, put them together now and grasp the bag. Well, can I have another one? Well, tote it under this arm, open this one up, and close this arm. Well, what does it cost? No, you don't understand. It's free, and your bags are full. They're internally full of food. God is the one that's going to fill them. God is the one that's going to fill you when you're empty. He empties you out, but he always fills you. But he understood beyond all the other apostles what they could ever understand. He fully understood the grace message. He fully understood the revelation, that it's finished work. And oh, if we could grab a hold of the it's finished. Know how we need to grasp a hold of it, that it's a finished work. It's a grace that's rich and full and free and eternal. What does that mean, eternal? It means forever. Know how they need to hear the grace of God message. It needs to be preached, and it needs to be preached right now. Woe be it to the preacher that does not preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ sharper than any two-edged sword. Setting apart, then, it says, the soul and the spirit knows how to rightly divide so you're not walking in soulishness. What's soulishness? Well, soulishness is a melancholy, you get a teaching and then you melancholy out. You just sort of spiritually smile around. You really don't understand the grace of God. I mean, next minute, you're ready to kill somebody after a great teaching. Know how we need to preach this to a dying world. There's a lot of Christians dying for the lack of the need of the gospel. They've been taught, overtaught, and rehashed, and taught, and sent to 40,000 teachings. End up meaner than hell itself because they haven't grasped the grace message yet. Know how we need to get into preaching of the gospel to the perverted, crying out, searching, blind. To a globe right now that's ready for suicide. And we come up with remedies. When we have a solution. When we have the answer to the problem, we take the answer and set it aside and work on all these teachings outside of Christ, not bringing them up, not ministering the gospel, and we go ahead with our self-satisfying preaching, and I've learned this, and excuse me, Lord, well, I just teach these people a few things. And we become taught out. You're like a kid that goes to college, and he's 50 years old, and he takes one last course, basket weaving, drives his parents nuts. Parent-dependent. But anyway, Paul sometimes soared so high, or dive so deep into the revelation, the unsearchable wonders of God's grace, that Peter couldn't follow him. Peter, that denied Christ three times before the cock crowed, he could not follow him. And sometimes when you get this revelation of God's grace, people don't understand it because they haven't dived into it that deep, or they haven't searched that high for it. They're too busy becoming knowledge, always coming, always learning, but never coming to know Christ. And so our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, according to the wisdom given unto him. No, it was given unto him. God gave him the gift of grace, and then he took him all through all these trials so he understood that his grace was sufficient. He wrote some things that are very hard to understand. Then we have Jude, who could write about the judgments of God and reprove them with terrible words. The men that had turned away from the grace of God, the lasciviousness of that, but he couldn't tell us the very purpose of grace as it was planned in the eternal mind, or the experience of grace as it is felt and as it is realized in the human heart, like Paul could. Paul realized it in his heart. The grace message of the Lord. It's a continuing on experience. Well, we're saved by it. Thank you very much, and we put it away. Thank you, grace. It's sufficient. Now I don't have to go after anymore. No. You need grace every day. Every day. And the more you get into it, the more you need. I need more grace now. It says to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need a bigger platter of grace. Now, you were babes and you were just sucking on these little bottles, see. And you were sucking away on this spiritual little bottle here. Right? But now you need meat. See, there's meat graces. And you need the meat of it. And you need to get into a little starvation once in a while. You need to, you know, really have to seek the Lord for it. Doesn't it taste better? Doesn't your food taste better when you're a kid and you're hungry? When are we going to eat? When it's done. When it's ready. But I want to eat right now. And some parents, they say, oh, go have a peanut butter sandwich then. I never said that. I said, well, it'll just be done when it gets done. Oh, no, don't you touch that peanut butter sandwich and fill your face up with all that old junk. And that's what God's saying. He says, don't eat them peanut butter sandwiches. Wait for it to come. Sometimes we can't wait. We're waiting on the Lord. We can't wait, so we have to make a phone call. Did you get anything from God for me? A peanut butter sandwich? Anything? And so we depend on someone else to tide us over till God comes through. And He's coming through. He's already come through. Put away your Peter Pan. Skippy's equal time. Getting groceries from all them folks. Put it away. Because I am preparing a feast for you, but I want you to hunger and I want you to thirst after righteousness and I want you to go through a little suffering so supper will be ready when it gets ready. Put away your milk bottle. You're beyond that. And so he had things that were hard to understand. And then we have James. He dealt with the practical evidences of the Christian character. And yet, he too is sort of topsoil. And this is good. Sort of a surface Christian when it came to understanding spiritual graces. Even John, but I believe the most favored of all the apostles, who was a companion of Jesus Christ on earth, couldn't fully minister God's grace. Now, we can't, the Bible tells us, divide the church saying, I am a Paul, I am a Peter, I am a Apollos. We can't do that. But what I'm pressing forward here today is the message that's needed right now is the grace message in a world where there seems to be no grace at all. We have it. But we can recognize here Paul, the doctor, let's call him the doctor of grace. The specialist, the heart surgeon. Now, if you're going to go to a heart surgeon, you don't go to say, well, here's a foot surgeon that's part of the body. I'll just go in there. Say, I'm having trouble with my heart. All he's got there is, toenail clippers and stuff like that. He hasn't got everything you need. He hasn't got all those specialized tools. No, I'm talking about we need to hear the grace of God. We need to hear the message of salvation. We need to hear what Jesus is saying through Paul. We need to the whole Bible, of course, but right now we need to hear the grace of God message. And he even sees God's grace working in himself before his conversion, separating him from, as it says, his mother's womb. He attributes all of his ministry of grace. And he says like this, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given. I am nothing, but God is going to give me grace that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I mean, how can you search out the riches of Christ? They're unsearchable. Now here we see Paul beaten, and he raises up, the Lord's grace is sufficient. And you see him stoned, and then he's laying there with a great big pile of stones all over his whole body, and all of a sudden grace grabs a hold of his fingertips, and he starts scratching at the rocks, and scratching at the gravel underneath, and a rock rolls there, and a rock rolls there, and pretty soon his nose is sticking out and breathing dust out of it. Huh? They've all gone. He said, man, there's life under there. His mouth starts to stretch. He says, better believe it. Pull this weight off me. And some brothers come off. Strictly because they want to find out what's happening. Not too much concern, and they start to scrape away the rocks, and he gets up. Woo! That was a tough one. Grace came through again, and he takes off. They throw him in jail, and while he's in jail, he writes to us. He was so free in jail, he starts writing to us. He didn't. Oh, man, beautiful. I'm in jail, but I'm free. Freer than you are, and you're out there. You're all bound up. And hated, sort of a Christ-like life. See, he had all the grace, and when you get a lot of grace, then you become Christ-like. You start to understand, and you have that grace message, they start to treat you like Jesus. Didn't that have an effect to it? Thank you, Lord. The grace of God. Unsearchable. The object of jealousy. Have you ever been the object of jealousy? I remember the first pair of wingtips I got. We didn't have no money, but my dad said, Dad, no, those shoes are so neat. I'd sure like to have a pair of those. Well, never know. Someday, maybe, never. So, and then he went down and he got me these wingtips, and the first thing my friend did was come up and walk up and step on them. Did you ever have somebody step on your wingtips, your spiritual wingtips? You got something or something happened in your ministry? Are you listening, preacher, on the radio tape? Have you been the object of jealousy? We see him bowed down with infirmity, and now we try to preach that he... No, don't get negative. And we tried, well, it was his eyes, his kneecaps were bad and he couldn't walk, or his back of his heel, or Achilles' heel, something. We don't know what it is, but anyway, he didn't have enough faith. He should have just said, by faith, I claim it gone. I claim it isn't there. I got into that. I claimed hair when I first got saved. It never did come. Are you hearing it? See, sometimes things are the way they're supposed to be. I mean, there are poor people, and Jesus says they'll always be with you. Well, I don't believe that. Let's just claim them out of existence. Well, we do that in the world, don't we? Tear down all the houses, and we tear down everything. Just pretend like they're not there and let them wander off someplace else. But see, we put up the dumb dome, and then all the property next to the dumb dome, and we want to get everybody so they can go over and yay for their football team. So now we've got to clear out all these areas. For the dumb dome. But anyway, getting back to Paul, he was lifted up into the third heavens with a revelation. Here he is down in a dungeon, and some of these jails were only big enough so that you had to back into, and you could just barely stand up like this, and you sit down on a little stool, and you're only about this wide. Now you're talking about a jail. But there he is, from one extreme to the other, lifted then into the third heavens. And he has but one account to give of himself. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, you are what you are, by the grace of God. Well, I have attained, I have this, and I've been there, and of course, and so on like that. But just the grace of God that got you where you're at. Well, I believe my uncle should try for more then. I mean, he must not be trying. He must not be trusting the Lord. But anyway, going on, it's like Isaiah, and he says, I saw the Lord. And when you see Jesus in a situation, it doesn't matter what people think. Preacher, are you hearing it? If there is a job that's given to you, do it. Don't worry about it. When you see Jesus in a situation, Don't worry about what the people are thinking. Oh, I wonder if you made a right turn in the road. Oh, this and that and so on. And if you listen to all of the privates, how are you ever going to listen to the captain? Why listen to the peons? When you see Jesus, he'll give you the understanding and he'll give you the direction and the peace, it says, and the joy and the righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And then we don't go by might, and we don't go by power, and we don't go by sight, but we go by the direction, and we go by the knowing, an inward knowing you're going the right way, and you will not be deterred. And then you'll do things that people will think is kind of weird. You know what I mean? Isn't that right? Well, you look at all the prophets in the Bible, preacher. Listen to me. You look at the apostles and so on, the things they had to do and the wanderings they had to wander around not knowing what God wanted them to do. Abraham, listen to them all. And they were sort of foolish looking.
Well, why are they doing that?
Huh?
Abraham, why doesn't he go where Lot's going? Man.
I am what I am. And so he was given to understand and to minister grace unflinchingly. I remember one time after I had said something about grace, and then there was a great big, man, they were just shaped, but and they got into arguing the scriptures, you know. And I had a message called the Grace Quake. You remember that? And I threw a little rug down up in here, and I says, okay, now I know there's folks out there, and I says, you know, this is a little rug here, and you stand on that rug, and every truth that's in your heart is going to come out. And you just get up and say whatever you're going to say, and then it'll just come out. I mean, you're so perfect. Just get up and say, I'm perfect. I'm without sin. You know, I don't believe the grace message. I believe that, someone like that, I think grace cuts you off, and it's sort of gray, I don't understand, I don't think anybody does it, and I said, just get up and say your say, and then expect something to happen while you're on the carpet. And there was about 20 legalists, I mean heavy-duty brothers in the audience. Nobody got up. Say amen. Nobody got up. They know inwardly. We all know. In fact, the Bible tells us, know yourself. When you know yourself, you're not going to judge anybody else. Well, the world says it takes one to know one. Oh, are you hearing it today? He was given to understand it, an unconditional grace. And for a preacher to minister that, many times he must come from, and to fully understand it, I believe the grace preachers that fully understand it come from a very gross, perverted, outrageous sin. Such stands before you today. What'd you do? None of your business. Before that I came to know the Lord, I was into everything I could get into. Embezzlements, money grabbing. I mean everything you can name that you've done. Or thought about doing. Look at the people that are brought up in these very pious, sent to school, then to college, and then to the pulpit without an encounter of any kind of the environment. They're not going to be able to preach the grace message. Now, that's just bottom line what it is. Well, I remember coming out of the service, and my dad had a cafe, and I was right next to a Bible college. And so I went in. I thought, well, I'll give him a hand for a while. I hated cafe business because my dad was in it for 50 years. I just detested it. I'll never be in cafe business. Now I got one of the biggest cafes in the cities down below here. God uses everything, you know. But anyway, all these Bible students would come in, and they were so beautiful, and I remember how shiny their faces were, you know, and they were so young. They were just 18, and they were great kids. And they'd come in, and here I was. I was 20 years old. I'd been working since 9 years old. I knew every whore and pimp in the streets. And, you know, street educated. Okay. Served beer at about 11 years old. Played the slots. Did all this kind of thing, you know. Oh, wow. Well, I just happened to be there. I was involved in it. I mean, I was thrown into it. I mean, you know. Hey, when you're in a toilet bowl, what do? You swim or sink. Okay? And so there I was, and these people would come in, and they were kind of like, man, they were unreal to me. I thought, man, and the more they'd talk about the Lord, and the more they'd do this and that and so on like that, and finally I told them, I says, well, I'm 20 years old. I've been through a few things. I'm out of the service now. I'm discharged, just barely 20, 19, got discharged. Been through all this, and you know, what you're saying isn't real to me. Because what I see here with you kids is that you've never been in a place of temptation. While they were there, they were put into a place of temptation. Some of the folks would send their kids to Bible college so they would meet somebody and get married to them, and they'd marry a preacher. Maybe the preacher would marry someone that could play the piano or the organ, or would, you know. Cafe business did that too. My dad always wanted to hook me up with a Greek girl so he could start a cafe. You know what I mean? Live happily ever after, flipping pancakes, you know. See? So we have our little ways, see? The parents have little ways. But whilst they were there, sometimes they would fall into sin and they would find out and they would grow. How did they grow? By falling in. How did you grow? How did you come to know Jesus Christ? By coming out of what? Coming out of sin. Ooh. But anyway, when you're not put through anything, how can you speak with any kind of emphasis on it? No, none whatsoever. How can you minister to the alcoholic if you've never been down that road? When they drag you in by the feet and put you in the drunk tank. Well, then you understand. Or the boys' schools, or the prisons. Not to say that everybody should go to prison, but all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You listening that are out there in the prisons right now, you're going out to the prisons. You can take this tape right out there, right, Jan? And they're out there, but they can grow while they're in prison. Are you hearing this? Now you listen to me on the radio here. You who are lost and know it. When I was out there and I was lost, I knew it. Take it from me. His grace is sufficient. I understood God's grace because you know why I understood it? I needed it. It snatched me right out of the pit. Nervous, upset, money in the bank, trembling hands, booze controlled, pill controlled, business controlled, mammon controlled, woman controlled, self-motivated, fearful, worrying, anxious, was falling apart at the seams. You see, Jesus grew up. He's the one that glues everything together. Now, there's people out there listening to me. You are falling apart. The stuffing is coming out. You're on the yellow brick road. You're the straw man, and your straw is dropping out all over. But listen, everybody needs it. You're sitting in here today. We all need it. We need to recognize how much grace we need. You out there that are listening to me on the radio, you're God's chosen. God's chosen people. You've been permitted to roam all over and just get into all kinds of junk. You're prodigalizing. You're roving around. You're sheep that have gone astray. And God's watching you. And he's going to watch you until you get right to the edge of that cliff. You know what he's going to do? He's going to snatch you out of there. He's going to snatch you out of the fire, even hating your garments spotted by the flesh. And we're told to do that. Snatch you out. You're listening, and you need to be saved. God wants to save you, and I'm preaching the gospel today. But listen, such as you. Such as you listening, you are the most valiant of warriors. Get saved. Be yourself in the Lord, and don't play act. Once you get saved, don't pick out three or four people in a church or five or six people in a church and have one person's religious walk. You see, we conjure up all kinds of things that we think are religious. And we get saved, and then we think we should be like this guy or that guy, and we start to act things out. Be imitators of Christ. And people will say, now here's a real man raised up of God. Not a parrot from the first church of parrotology. Polly wants this and Polly wants that. No. You know, they never satisfied these wantum preaching things. Well, I'm tired of crackers. But now, having said all that, let's go on with, I think, number one, the riches of God's grace. That's the treasure. You know what your treasure is, really? Your life, filled with the grace of God. Stop looking all over for a treasure. Your treasure is your life. What good is an outside treasure if you're not even existing? Number two, we're going to deal with the forgiveness of sins, which is measured according to the riches of His grace, not someone else's. Oh, have you seen Betty? Have you seen Patty? I wonder if they're saved yet. A lot of times people will fall and people wonder, oh, they used to be saved. That'd be like having a baby here. It's been a bad baby. You used to be a baby. He's still sitting there, dirty diapers and the whole thing. He's still there. Can you act like he's non-existent? No, he's born. He's there, and he's going to grow into a big baby with a whole lot of problems. And that's where grace comes in, and that's where love comes in. And that's where the gospel message comes in. But see, it's not deep enough. It's deep. And I think we're going to close by looking at some of the privileges of His grace. So first, then, let's consider the riches of His grace. Person asked me, well, then, if it's unsearchable, how can we search it out? Well, why try and understand? Something that is far beyond all human reasoning. But go for it anyway. Let me say this, though. There is no end to the grace of God. No end. As far as the east is from the west, there is no end to the grace of God. Love, I'm talking beyond the breast of human passion. I'm talking about the love of God. See, love isn't something that God acquired by practice. It's something that He is. God is love. Now, in men, grace may grow into be a habit, but grace is God's very nature. The nature of God is to give you grace. God, I don't know how I'll go on.
I made this decision, and I just don't know how to go on. Yet.
His grace is sufficient. How many here in this? Let's have order in here. No one from now on is leaving the audience. Lock all the doors and windows. You hear it? How will I ever go on? I've made a mistake. You are going to make mistakes. You were designed that way. Oh, that's a real negative thing. Now you're telling people they'll make mistakes and they'll just go out and they'll sin and they'll say, well, I made a mistake. Well, I mean, that's the dilemma of preaching grace. And you say, well, you can just give people license to sin. You say, grace will cover it. Well, I have to say that. But when they grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they won't want to. Don't you understand? See what I'm saying? And maybe you're not there yet, so you're thinking that. Oh, great. What a neat deal. I can have the best of both, the best of the world, the best of God. Well, there'll be consequences for every choice that's made. Don't worry. This guy said, no, listen, man has a free will. God will not interrupt. I said, he has ways of changing that so that his will be done. He has ways of persuading you. Don't you have ways of persuading your children with little chastisements and stuff? Don't you? Come on. How many are hearing this message? There is no bounds to the grace of God. It is unsearchable, and I think our world needs to hear God's grace right now, not a get-rich message. But how to receive the richest gift of all, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace that are continually given unto you as much as you want. Woe be it to you, preacher, if you don't preach it. But a lot of times we treat it as if it were rationed. Give a little stingy. Here's your grace for today. Use it sparingly. Don't let it run out. You'll be in trouble. You've already sinned 4 or 5 times sitting there. You're using up your grace. Yeah. Hey, you're sinning while you're all sitting in here, you're sinning. What do you mean? Well, just because you're not physically robbing a bank and everything, see, the sin is moving in you all the time. It is. No, I can't read people's minds, so I'm not doing that. You know, a lot of times you look at somebody and think, oh, God, he's reading my mind. No, hey, I don't want to read anybody's mind. Do you? I have enough trouble with my own. Right? But they get all paranoid. Paranoia. No. That's not what I'm trying to point out here. What I'm trying to point out is while you're sinners sitting right here saved by grace, you need more grace, abundant grace, to keep you that way. God is cranking it out fast as He can to keep up with you. Now, how many are hearing this? But some people think, well, you get self-righteous, you know, you put on, and you can almost see them come in. They got these long robes on, you know. Vespers or whatever you call it. And they got the long, tall hats. And they got that look, you know, and they're looking around. And man, they are looking around with sin, rebellion, and hate. Oh, God. And so they try to act the part out. You can't act it out. God knows our hearts. How many of you know you need grace? Oh, God, I need it. But we treat it like it's rationed out and that we must first earn it. And you come up and we give them little pay envelopes. There you go. And some people get bigger envelopes. I don't happen to have any here right now, but just imagine this is bigger, okay? Boy, you gained a lot of grace. And I hear people say, boy, you're sure going to go to heaven, Pastor Paul, passing out all them groceries and stuff. So they ain't got nothing to do with it. Boy, if that was why I went to heaven, I couldn't pass out enough groceries. I'd pass out passing out groceries trying to make it. I don't have a thing to do with how good I am or how bad I am. What it has to do with is that God's grace is sufficient to take you there. But we like to give little envelopes. Boy, come on up here. We're going to honor you with a... Bring the wheelbarrow up. There, fella. Boy, do you deserve it, huh? No, God is no respecter of people. He'll give you enough grace to make it through, each one of you, and some, he just has to pile on more, of course. But they want a commitment a lot of times from an old heart. You ever been to a church where they want a commitment from an old heart? Before the person is even offered a new heart, they want a commitment. Brother, here's the rules of the church. I never forget going into this church, and I was just fresh. Remember that, Jen? We were just fresh, and I walked back to the table back there. They had the doctrine back there, you know. Kind of led you right back to the table. And then four or five guys with bowl haircuts, you know. Here's some literature here we have here on, well, there's the doctrines of the church and so on like that, and they kind of edge it towards you, you know. See, I come out of I was just by nature a con, so I knew this guy was, you know, was pushing a message on me. Bringing around the table like this, you know. And I go, oh, this is interesting. It wasn't interesting at all. It's just doctrines of the church. No drinking, smoking, swearing, and they had all these things in there, and my heart wasn't changed. And this, and this, and this, and I thought, God, I can't do any of this. Man. Whew. I can't even say amen down at the bottom. Wow. I put the thing down and I thought, man, I got a lot of homework to do. Hey. And I went out for a whole month and I just got together with God. I didn't see my friends. I didn't see anybody. And I just searched the Bible and says, God, give me an answer. I got saved and filled with the Spirit and it was so great. And I thought, but it's so beautiful. It just seems like it's falling flat. And I went there and I can't keep any of those things. And the Lord told me, he says, I didn't tell you to quit smoking, doping, drinking. I didn't tell you to do any of those things. Looking at girls, I didn't tell you to do any of those things. And then I read the Bible and it says, but if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. And then I read, no greater love with a man, he would die for a friend. And the Lord spoke to me and says, Paul, your life is drinking and carousing, and your life is all those things. Will you give those things up for a friend? And when he put it in that light, I thought, well, I can do it for somebody else easier than I can do it for myself and anybody else. And that's the whole gospel message, isn't it?